Hello everyone, what's going on? Welcome to Crankcast Season 2, Episode 9. We're approaching our 10th episode and we're doing it quite quickly. But until we get there, we have to pass for some other steps. I'm your host, Tudor, and welcome to Episode 9 of Crankcast. Now, in this episode, we're going to have some news, some fairly interesting news if you ask me. We're also going to have some blast from the past from a budget motorcycle that a lot of you people that listen to this podcast might have actually had at some point in time. And then we're going to see the last part of it. At the end of the day, we are going to talk about what happened on Crank It lately. But that being said, let's go straight into it. So first thing for just a little self-plug. You can follow us on Crank It, the main channel, or Crankcast, which is the podcast channel, or you can find this podcast on any podcast listening platform of your choice. We also have an Instagram and a TikTok, but we're going to plug those at a later time in the show. Now, let's quickly go through the news topics, and then we're going to dive deeper into each of them. First of all, Damon Motorcycles has pre-sold $20 million worth of bikes. That's huge. Aprilia launched an e-commerce site. Are they doing dropshipping? We'll find out. Next up, Vespa launches a special edition, a 75-year edition of their GTS and their Primavera platforms. I mean, scooters. Aprilia has a new SX125 and RX125. So these are two A1 compatible supermoto and dual sport models, which we're going to talk in just a bit. And then finally, last but not least, we have some new spy shots of the KTM 1290 Super Duke RR. Nothing official yet, but we have some spy shots, and hey, that's good enough for now. Now, also in this Blast from the Past segment, we're going to talk about the bike that I actually owned. It was actually my first bike. I'm talking about the Suzuki GS500. Might not seem exciting, but it's exciting for a lot of other reasons. And finally, we're going to talk about some updates on Crank It. But that being said, let's jump straight into it. This has been the intro. Long enough, I know. Let's go straight to the news topics and let's see what happened in the motorcycling world in this past week. There are some interesting things in here. So first of all, Damon Motorcycles has apparently pre-sold $20 million worth of bikes. That's huge. But if you are like a lot of other people, your first question might be, who the heck is Damon Motorcycles? And yeah, fair enough. Who are they? So Damon Motorcycles is a company that announced a few prototypes of motorcycles. And the way they're doing it in a sort of unique way is that these bikes are electric. They're trying to do a bit of a Tesla, but in the motorcycle industry. And that's interesting, in my opinion. But yeah, they're electric bikes. They have basically three models now. One is high-end and two lower-end ones, but we're going to get into that as well. What's amazing about this one, this is a new company, right? So it's backed by investor funding and by pre-sales and stuff like that. But what's amazing about this one is that they've actually been at bike shows for a while now, and what they show actually does seem fairly interesting. I would love to ride one, but they're not cheap. But we're going to get into that. So their top-of-the-line bike sold out in just 4 days. So just for reference, these 20 mils of orders are mainly for their sort of mid-range bikes. Top-of-the-line ones sold in 4 days, like sold out in 4 days. That's amazing. And what this shows, I think, it's that a lot of people are interested. There's a lot of interest in this company. And I think for good reason. Now, just a bit of a price reference, right? It's like the mid-range bikes that they launched are about $20,000, somewhere in the ballpark. Their high-end one was between $30,000 and $40,000. So they're not cheap bikes by any stretch of the imagination, right? So they're mid-end, which has lower capacity batteries, is the same as like the latest with all the bling Ducati, like V4 or whatever, Aprilia RS4 factory, whatever. So they're not cheap bikes, but then electric technology in the beginning never is. New technology in the beginning never is. So I think they could have done worse, honestly. And they are marketing themselves as like this sort of exotic super sport motorcycle company. So it should be interesting to see. So yeah, these two new entry-level models are going to start at around $20,000. And other than this, they also have around $30 million in investment. I mean, they had, they received it. They probably spent a lot of it because that's how investment works in like startup companies. And Daemon Motorcycles is a startup company, which is, I think, really interesting. I genuinely think it's really interesting. But yeah, either way, what next? Shipments of this bike are expected somewhere in 2022. That sounds good. And 2022 is basically next year, so from now in a year, you should expect to see this bike at your doorstep. I just hope they're not going to do a Tesla. And what I mean with that, look, Teslas are amazing vehicles, but they way overpromise and sometimes way underdeliver, especially with release schedules, right? And when you can actually get your hand on these bikes, on these cars. And I'm really hoping that Daemon Motorcycles is not going to be the same in terms of like their release schedule and when do they actually get to deliver these bikes. Like, let's not forget that these are a startup company and they sold out. So they're going to have their work cut out for them for sure, right? But if they pull it off, good job, Daemon. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to wait and see for this one. And it's worth mentioning that it's really hard to be the new guy in something like this. And actually, a bit just for reference, you can see back there an example of a Daemon motorcycle, right? This is their sort of high-end sports bike. But yeah, these are the Daemon bikes. So what next? Let's go into our second topic. And we're talking about Aprilia, because Aprilia launched an e-commerce platform. Yes, you heard it well. And no, Aprilia is not starting dropshipping. So make some money on the side. But in all seriousness, though, so Aprilia USA announced the launching of their new online platform that would allow customers to order bikes directly from Aprilia themselves. You know how I mentioned this other company that builds cars, electric? Yeah, I might have heard a guy, Elon Musk. It seems like Aprilia kind of sort of took a page out of Tesla's book here, because Tesla was one of the first ones that thought about this, like, hey, getting rid of dealerships. And yeah, Aprilia seems to be doing the same. So now, if you're going to go on Aprilia's website, if you're from the US, you're going to be able to pick a new like RS660 or an RS4, maybe. Why not? Add it to your cart. Swipe your credit card. I mean, not swipe it. Insert your details in there. But yeah, you're going to be able to just buy it and wait for it to be delivered by Amazon. Oh, man. Honestly, this is pretty nice. There are a lot of people for who dealerships, when talking about buying bikes, don't make sense. But that being said, dealerships still matter. And I think Aprilia did this just because of this. Especially in the US, there's a bit of a shortage of Aprilia dealerships. I mean, they are out there, but they're not as often seen as other European brands, like, I don't know, Ducati. And so Aprilia had to compensate with something, and this is how they compensated with their sales process, and that's fine, right? I agree with what they're doing. The only issue I have with this is that it doesn't really solve the dealer problem, because sure, buying a bike is going to be easier. What about afterwards? What about the service intervals, the maintenance? And you can't do it at your local mechanic because you're going to lose your warranty at that point. So you still need those dealers, and you still need those sort of certified Aprilia agreed by mechanics. I don't know. It seems a step in the right direction, though. Hey, I would love to be able to just purchase a bike from a website. Yes, you're going to miss on some stuff, like maybe, I don't know, older models being on the showroom floor. But hey, you win some, lose some, right? Is there anything else to say about this one? Yeah, actually, Aprilia, this is not the first time Aprilia experimented with the online, because they have been experimenting with online pre-orders in the past, and it was a great success. So, yeah, they're probably onto something. Definitely onto something. And yeah, one of the last mentions here, even though hopefully it's going to end soon, but if it doesn't, this is also COVID-friendly. Like, this takes out one interaction that might be unnecessary for a lot of people. The interaction of going to a dealership, maybe sometimes multiple times, is unnecessary for a lot of people. So this announcement by Aprilia just takes this one out. And hey, why not? I would order a bike online. Why not? Why not? Let's go into the third topic, though. And ooh, my TV just switched to Netflix because it's so amazing. But let's go into the next topic, which is about Vespa. So Vespa launches a new special edition of their bike, the Vespa Primavera and GTS 75 year anniversary. Now, I'll start off with saying two things. First of all, we don't usually report on scooters. It's not because I feel down on them, or because like, scooters, they're gay. No, that's not the reason. We don't usually report on scooters here at Crankcast because, to be fair, it's just not, I'm not that interested in them. Vespa being a bit of a bit of something different. Because Vespa is a bit of a unique bike brand, right? So they managed to build these scooters that are so iconic that I can't be mad at them. Good job, Vespa. What there is to say? So what we're celebrating here is basically 75 years of this iconic bike. And oh my god, this TV is annoying me. But yeah, we're celebrating 75 years of this iconic bike. So 75 years since the first Vespa went on sale. Pretty big news, as you might imagine. What are you getting with this new sort of special edition Vespa? So I have to have a bit of a list here because it's, you get a custom saddle. You get a leather luggage bag on the back rack. I know it doesn't sound like much, but that actually back leather bag is made there to in a round shape. It's made to resemble the old bikes, because the old bikes in the past, they actually had the spare wheel. Yes, you did get a spare wheel on a scooter back in the days. But it's meant to bring back that memory of having that round spare wheel. Of course, this one you won't have a spare wheel, but it's nice to know that they thought about these small little details. So this basically is just a throwback to the old machine. But what's also important is that you get some other bling as well, like some, you know, a lot of Vespa promotional stuff and like swag from Vespa. So hey, if you're a real Piaggio Vespa enthusiast, this is the scooter for you. I can't be mad, honestly. I cannot be mad. But yeah, this is sort of Vespa news, and it's time to go back to Italy, actually. And we're going to go back to Aprilia, but we're going to tone it down a bit. We're not going to talk about RSV4s. I lost my... No way. Okay, we're gonna use this picture. Hey, doing production by yourself, never easy. But Aprilia actually released a new SX and RX 125 models. First of all, what the heck even are these? Don't worry, I got the answer for you. So these two are A1 compliant bikes, right? So one of them is a supermoto version of a 125, and then the other one is a dual sport version of a 125. So the supermoto has 17-inch rims, and then dual sport has, I think, an 18 or a combo of a 21-inch front wheel and I think an 18 rear wheel. I hope I'm not mistaken on that one. But these bikes do come with some updates, of course, as they do. Sorry about that. They do come with some updates. First of all, you have a new Euro 5 engine in them. I mean, obviously, you get a new bike. In order to be sold in Europe, you need to have it Euro 5. So there's that. They're going to come at a price of 4,500 euros. So I think this is reasonable. Could it have been better? Yes. Is it terrible? No. I think it's honestly decent. So what else do you get for your money? You get ABS, Euro 5, as I said. This bike will weigh around 134 kilograms wet weight, which is, hey, considering you get gas in the tank for that weight, not bad. Have 14.8 brake horsepower, so yeah. You get a new LCD display, you get a USB socket under the saddle. Nice things. If you're 16 and buying this bike, I mean, sure, they're nice to have, but yeah, you just want a bike at that point, to be fair. And you also get a new available Rally Tribute livery. Exciting. So yeah, A1 licensed bikes, you know, they are what they are. But I actually want to point something here. I honestly think that this segment of A1 supermotos, this is one of the best bikes you can get at 16 years old. Here's the truth. Whatever bike you're going to get at 16, it's not going to be fast. And to be fair, that's not bad. But it's not going to be fast. So My humble opinion, right, if I were to get a bike at 16, other than getting a bike that looks fast, like an R125 from Yamaha, why not just get a bike that's fun? It's pure fun. Or R125, sure, it can be fun. It can be hooned around. But it's not like a supermoto, right? Even at 125 supermoto, it is more fun than a Yamaha R125, which is like a super sport-inspired bike. But you're not pretending to be something you're not. Like, let's be fair. Any 125 super sport bike out there is just pretending to be a more powerful, faster bike when it isn't. A supermoto is not, though. A supermoto is honest. And not only honest, but it's going to be way more fun for you because of that upright riding position. And again, you're probably not going to take huge trips on 125, so at that point the supermoto is going to do just fine. And even if you're going to take huge trips, you're 16. Why do you care? You don't care about wind resistance. You don't care about stuff like that. Just go ahead, ride wherever you want. And yeah, I actually think these new Aprilia supermotos, pretty cool. I like them. I like supermotos for A1 bikes. I think they're brilliant. Brilliant little ideas. So now it's time to go into the last section of our news. We're going to talk about KTM because we have some new spy shots of the new, possibly new, in the future, KTM 1290 Super Duke Double R. So RR. I'm not sure what that was about. But let's see what details we have. So, first detail, carbon all the things. So we have stuff like a rear carbon fly screen, a carbon front fender, a carbon rear fender, possibly a carbon chain guard. So yeah, carbon everything. I mean, this is a special edition of a Super Duke, so you expected it. And to be fair, right, these aren't parts that you can't put on your own Super Duke. Hint, hint, you'll see why. Maybe in a future video. In the next video, probably. But yeah, all of these carbon bits are pieces that you can buy today, right? You could buy in 2016, you could buy in 2014 when the bike launched. But they do come now, like, already installed from KTM. Neat. What else? The engine is probably going to be the same. We don't know any details, so there might be stuff like changed maps, but KTM is like 99.9% going to stay with the same LC8 engine. Again, maybe throw one on a different map, maybe have a bit more power up top or something. But yeah. Another part that KTM loves and their partner company Akrapovic loves is titanium. So we get a full titanium exhaust front to back from Akrapovic. Nice. And you also get stuff like titanium bolts and stuff like that. So what this makes, all this carbon and titanium, is it should make the bike to be about 9 kilograms lighter. Don't get me wrong, the Super Duke, yes, it is a 1300cc bike, but it's a darn light bike for what it is. It's about 190 kilograms. Now, have that at 180 kilograms, that's huge. The Super Duke is already a monster, so making it even lighter, yeah, not needed, but cool. You also get no pillion seat, so if you want to take passengers, well, you have to opt for a standard version, and to be fair, this is not the first time KTM does that. So if you take it back a bit to the last Super Duke, and I'm not talking about 1290s, I'm talking about the 990s, the regular 990 Super Duke had two seats, but the 990 Super Duke R only had one seat, and you had no option of mounting an extra seat in the back. So there's that. So yeah, as I said, these are just spy shots, so they might not be in anything, it might be just KTM mucking around. This is going to be a limited run of 500 units, so you're not going to be able to buy them off showroom floors like at any time. I'm really curious about the price. I don't remember the last time KTM did like really limited runs of stuff, like proper limited runs of stuff. So I'm curious how much are they going to charge for it. We'll see if it's overpriced or not. But what we do know is that we will get more info at the end of March of this year. So we only have a few weeks to wait until we get some proper info on these bikes. But yeah, excited. Exciting, cool. But now, ladies and gentlemen, this was the news section. I had some cool stuff, some interesting stuff, some maybe not so interesting stuff, but hey, there are good weeks and bad weeks, and this was not the best week for news. But to be fair, like Triumph did spoil us in the past with like a lot of launches and a lot of other manufacturers launching a ton of stuff here and there, so yeah, they spoiled us with this, and now we have this week. Still not bad, though. But it's time to go to our next segment, which is appropriately called Blast from the Past. This is a segment where we talk about a motorcycle that's most likely not longer in production, and somehow this one is no longer in production. But in this case, we are going to talk about the Suzuki GS500 and all of its variants throughout the years. Yes, I know, a boring bike, but it was my first bike, so we're going to have to deal with it. Okay, so first of all, what is the Suzuki GS500? First of all, it's the definition of cheap and cheerful. Not the best looking, not the best performing, not the best at anything. It is the best though at price, because in my country you can buy a running version of this bike at around 800 to 900 euros. That's amazing. That's really cheap for cheap motoring at the end of the day. And if you're in the US, you might get it for even cheaper. And this is a potent little bike, it's not like a small 125. This is a 500cc engine. It produces around 38, 40 horsepower, somewhere around that, right? It's a decent amount of horsepower. It will take you places. It can definitely go on a highway, for example. And it's really reliable. But this was actually my first bike. I like to say that my first bike was actually a Ducati Monster. But truthfully, it was this one. Now, these things are known to be tough as rocks, right? They're incredibly reliable. All of them are, except mine, except the one that I have, which constantly broke down, and I had to sell it for spare parts. It was such a piece of utter shit. Okay, to be fair, that was my fault when buying it as well. Because I looked at it, I thought, hey, look, that bike looks red. I'm going to buy it. So I bought it. I took it to the service right after I bought it, and I had to put in about half the money I already spent on the bike, just in the bike, in service fees. And it wasn't done, don't get me wrong. It wasn't pristine. No. It was barely drivable, like rideable at that point. But let's go back talking to the model in general, because there are some points to make about this. So the engine was a simple parallel twin, air-cooled, carbureted. If this doesn't scream, I will run forever, I don't know what. But seriously, it was not like overpowered for its cc. So 500cc, 40 horsepower, give or take. That sounds totally fair to me. Parallel twin, yes, a bit boring as a configuration, but for smaller bikes, it's a really popular one. You can find parts like anywhere. It's air-cooled, so that means like no liquids that you have to worry, no need to change the antifreeze in it, no need to do anything. You could probably go without changing the oil for like its lifetime, it would probably still run, because hey, it's a GS500. What else do we have? This actually takes me perfectly into what I said here, because in my notes I have that there's nothing to admire, but nothing to break, other than mine. Oh man. So, this bike was actually built from 1979. But in 1979, it had slight different configuration. So, this bike actually started as an inline 4 500cc engine. But then in 1988, Suzuki changed it to what we know now as the GS500. And they changed it to a parallel twin. And the most amazing thing is that this configuration, like this basic engine, stayed in the bike between 1988 and 2013. In 2013, Suzuki was still manufacturing these motorcycles. That's mad. That's amazing. It's amazing that it lasted. This stood the test of time so well. And this has to say something about the bike and about its reliability and about how much people want bikes like this. The production went up to 2013. The brakes, let's talk about the brakes, they were there. I mean, you did get the disc brake, front and rear. There was that. Didn't stop quickly, but it stopped you eventually. So, yeah. I mean, better than drum brakes, because other competitors, like the Kawasaki ER5, actually had drum brakes. In comparison, disc brakes, yeah. Not bad. It was always a bargain, though. It's really cheap motorcycle. It's as cheap as it goes, and this is, I think this note summarizes it perfectly, because you cannot get much cheaper bikes than this that give you so much satisfaction. And this is like a proper medium-sized bike, right? It's what I call a big bike. It's not a 125. You know, it's not an A1 bike. It's proper dimensions. And going along with the budget thing, it has skinny tires. And what skinny tires means is that, well, it's good on budget because skinny tires are usually cheaper. We also had a bit of a weird F version, which is this put some fairings on top of it and like, yeah, this is for touring now. So yeah, Suzuki did do that. And yeah, actually, in my country, this bike became the symbol of school bikes. Like, anywhere you go to do your riding school, you would find the GS500 most likely somewhere. And you would probably have to ride it for taking your test. This became a bit of an icon, right? A symbol for new motorcycling. And that's cool. But yeah, this was Blast from the Past, where we talked about the Suzuki GS500. And now it's time to go into our first and last segment. It's time to finish it off with Crank It news and updates. This week there aren't many, but there are basically two. So first of all, I sort of started the hunt for a new place to put a shop in. I'm just going to let it there. But yeah, I started the hunt for that. So we'll see how that goes. I started thinking about it and I started contacting some maybe real estate agents to see if I can find something proper. We'll see. But the one thing I can share a bit more details about is actually our latest video, because we released our latest Crank It video, which is the Supermoto build series. The Kawasaki, we are starting to build the Kawasaki KLX 450R Supermoto. And spoiler alert, we already stopped. I'm not going to go into too much details because that video has like a 3-minute outro where I go into all the details I want to go in there. So long story short, we did start building the KLX 450R. Unfortunately, we had to stop because of reasons that, let's just say I don't have where to build it any longer. That's the truth. So we had to stop in doing that. Now, the bike is still going to get built, as I said in the video. It's probably going to get built by a shop. I'm waiting for tires for it, for the new rims that actually came in the post that are somewhere over there, but I'm not going to show them to you. But yeah, I'm waiting for tires for that, then I can go and talk to a shop to the, okay, here's my project bike. Yes, it's in bits now. Don't worry, they did an okay job. I didn't lose stuff. And yeah, please mount all of these components on it and give it to me and I'll throw a fat stack of cash at you. But seriously, no, I don't have any other option right now. I do want this bike. I do like this bike and I do want this built to get done. I've invested way too much in it so far not to do it. Plus, hey, I love the idea of it. So yeah, the bike is definitely going to come to fruition. But yeah, I've launched this video and I'm preparing for the next video. All I can do for now is just write some scripts and stuff like that, so prepare for it. It's going to be an interesting bike, and you're going to actually see a completely new bike on the channel, on the Crank It channel. That's going to be exciting, and trust me, you will love this new bike. If you watch some of the podcasts, you might have an idea on what it could be, but I'm not gonna say it now. Now we're going to have to watch the main video for it. But still, that being said, these were the Crank It news and updates for this week. Now, thanks a lot for watching this podcast. Don't forget that we have a main YouTube channel called Crank It. So just go there, check the videos out for yourself. If you like them, subscribe, give them likes, comments, whatever, stuff like that. I also have an Instagram page and a TikTok. So the Instagram is crank.it. And then the TikTok is crank_it, where we do post content there whenever I have some time for that. But no, seriously, we do post content there as well. So if you want to follow us sort of more, be more up to date with what we're doing, follow us on Instagram and on TikTok. And thanks a lot for listening to this podcast. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give it a 5-star review or whatever else you're listening to. If you're watching this on YouTube, then I'll just let you know that this is mainly an audio show and you can also find it on your podcast listening platform of choice. Thanks a lot for watching this video. Thanks a lot for following us. This year is going to be great. Can't wait for good weather. But until then, see you on the next one. Bye.